Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rant EM.
You'll have to keep that one.
Okay, Terry, Michael, buddy, good to see you guys back.
Hey, good to be here, guys. First of all, I'd just like to say this. I'd like to thank NWA, Jim Crockett, Channel 17, and Ted Turner for giving us a chance here in the NWA. Now, you know it's like this. A lot of the promoters around the country, they blackballed the Freebirds. And the reason why is because we done wrapped too many chairs around people's heads. Now, you know it's like this. I ain't gonna stand out here and say that we're the greatest wrestlers in the world. And I ain't gonna stand out here and say that we're the worst. But I am gonna say that we can swing a chair better than anybody in professional wrestling today.
Hey, you know what? We've been all around the country and all around the world, and a lot of people don't like us, but there's an awful lot of people that do like us, and we're back home here in Atlanta, and we're going to show everybody here in Atlanta just who the Freebirds still are.
You know something, baby? The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town, and we ain't in town to mess around. Now, you know, I hear through the grapevine that the horsemen are saying, Freebirds, this ain't MTV. Well, let me tell you something, baby. We know it ain't MTV. It's Channel 17, and this is Atlanta, Georgia. And Atlanta, Georgia is our home. You understand what I'm talking about? So Ric Flair, Lex Luger, Tully Blanchard, get everything you got together, because when you come walking down the aisle in the Omni on the 7th of June, you're going to have to try to walk down Bad Street. And like Bam Bam said, many of them have tried, but nobody has made it to the end of the block. And it ain't going to be no different. That's right. We hit Freebird Fantasia going to Fort Myers tonight. But in the Omni, bring it on down and we'll find out, baby.
We're back.
The fabulous Freebirds back with us right here on the Superstation.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm going to end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Ooh, you're looking at the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
Ah!
That's a bad bitch right there. Joan Jett. She was good in concert. I saw her a couple years ago opening for The Who. Ladies and gentlemen, hello, good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. You're live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. As always, I'm your gracious host, the Yoda of yesteryear, the Messiah of memories, your Friday Night Delight, the impact player, Mr. Philly Rea. And no, we're not live per se. This is new to all of you. This is old to me because we had a pre-record. That's how it is sometimes, man. Life happens. Being an adult sucks, by the way. There's not enough time in the day to do anything fun anymore. I'm serious, man. It sucks. So I'm doing this in the middle of the morning. And I'm totally fucking exhausted. I had a long... Even though I had a day off this week from work, it was still like one of the longest weeks ever. So, hello to everybody listening to in chat room. So, listen, I really wasn't going to do an episode. Well, we were going to take the week off. And, like, this week, Choppy is working and he's moving. I had somewhere to be last night. I didn't even know he was moving yesterday until the week before. I had to make plans months in advance, so I couldn't be there. And but he took care of it. He said he's good. I talked to him this morning. He's exhausted. He's wrapping up a movie set in Brooklyn as we speak. So I hope he listens to this and he enjoys this episode. I got a pretty cool throwback for you guys tonight. So I don't know if I'm going to spend 2 hours on this thing. I spent 3 hours almost last week spitting my guts out about fucking social media and stupid people and foreigners and how much people are divided in the country and in the world. It was a fucking mess last week. But Tony Z from the Shining Wizards made a hot tag, came in. It was pretty cool. I played it back. And I got to tell you, I enjoy doing philatorials. I just have to be, like, properly motivated. Most of the time, it's because I'm pissed off. I don't want to do every philatorial being pissed off. So I want to do some happy shit. So hopefully the next philatorial I do, I can talk about some happy shit. Because I was really, really, really upset. I was thoroughly upset. So you're going to get me today, tonight. And you're probably going to get maybe me next week. I'm not sure yet. I'm not going to even be in town the entire weekend starting Thursday night. Choppy does not have the capability of going by himself. I don't even think he wants to go by himself. However, though, with his new surroundings, I made him a little deal that we were going to try to set him up with his own little setup in case one of the Rant guys or one of the Wizard guys want to Skype and actually broadcast and Choppy can run the show. Choppy's never run the show before. Choppy's never ran the board. He's never done anything like that. All he does is prepare himself for the show and comes and does his thing. So I'm pretty much stuck with, you know, doing the production and uploading, downloading clips, playing shit, and then broadcasting to you guys on the Rant. But again, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that, you know, there are times like this where I would like to have Choppy do this, where he can just sit in front of a microphone, even if it's not live. Let him pre-record whatever he wants to pre-record, then send it to me. I can mix it and whatever, then upload it for you guys. And that's going to happen because I feel like it's been over a year now, and Choppy's pretty much cemented his place with the throwbacks, with me, with the family, with the crew, with our peers. So I think he's ready for the next step, and I'm glad to share that with all of you because it's really not even a surprise. I'm not breaking any fourth walls or anything. You know, we all know how the show works. It's been 6 years. It'll be 6 years exactly about a month from today. This is the 1st of June, so hello to everybody. Happy June. If you're a June person, happy birthday. All the kids are getting ready to get done with school. You know, I know kids down south are already done with school. However, they start school earlier than we do. So that's like the drawback. Like they get off in May, but they start in, like, August, where we stop in June, we go back in September. So that's the drawback. However, it is close to the summertime. Summer is, well, I'm calling it sprummer, because it's spring and it's, I mean, we had like 90 degrees last week. Now it's like 70 and like disgustingly humid. We've had rain the last several days. We're probably going to get rain till fucking Monday. This is like the fourth weekend in a row that it's rained. Miserable, miserable, miserable fucking weather. I don't like, see, the thing is, I don't mind the heat. It's the humidity. So when you mix the humidity and the rain, you get the fog, you get the nastiness. Whatever smells outside smells even worse. Like last night, I was coming home from fucking the ball game. I was in Queens at Citi Field for the Mets game. And shout out to my pals over RTIEMS for the tickets, by the way. Kevin and Sean and the whole crew. It was EMS night at the stadium. So they kind of sort of honored us by giving us a little shout out on the big Titantron they have there in Citi Field. I think it's called City Vision. And so, you know, some of the train stations smell. They smell because people still piss in the subways. Sadly, the homeless people still live down there sometimes. So that last night I was in one station and it just reeked of homeless people and piss. So now because of the humidity and all that, that's what happens. Not taking a shot at the homeless people or anything, because it's still fucking, I don't understand why it's 2018, I say this every year, but now I'm saying it again, it's 2018 and the big cities can't facilitate homeless people. I understand with crowd, I understand there's like 10 million people in New York City, but like, there's shelters, there's places to go, like, there's always somewhere, and there's so much real estate in New York City. New York City, their biggest business, besides commerce and trading, you know, money in the stock market, the second biggest money mover is real estate. Like, if you have prime real estate in New York City, you can make a career off that. I know people who've retired off selling property that they've had for 30 and 40 years, and now where they bought something for $35,000 40 years ago, now it's like $2.5 million. Matter of fact, my cousin's dad just sold his house, and he bought this house like 30 years ago in Brooklyn, and now it's worth like $3-4 million. And my man's like, I'm retired. I'm like, good for you. I'm going to buy a boat and go fishing in Florida. Good for you, dude. Congratulations. So yeah, real estate is a big deal here in New York City. I still don't understand why something is not in place, implemented to facilitate homeless people. It's just an absolute sin. I know in the wintertime now, if it drops to a certain degree, I know as first responders, we have to pick these people up off the streets and bring them to the hospital and stuff and get them, like, basically it's not even to be, you know, you're treating them for hypothermia, but some of them aren't even cold. Some of them just are, well, they're cold, but they're not hypothermic. They just want a fucking hot meal and a bed. You know what I'm saying? So that's really a lot of the emergency rooms in some of these areas in New York City have. In the wintertime, you have homeless people just taking up space in the emergency room because they're cold and it's, you know, 8 degrees outside and they're living in the fucking street. And it's a sin. It's a straight up sin. So maybe I'll save that for another philatorial. I'm not going to get into I'm not going to bore you guys with the bullshit and the politics. I know the whole Roseanne Barr thing's a big deal. And I guess we'll talk about that for a few minutes. And then we got some wrestling talk. Take a quick break. And I got a little throwback for you tonight, man. I fell into a Japanese wrestling wormhole this morning and last night. So I picked a match, and I'm pretty happy about it. And sadly, I can't play you the clip because it's in Japan. You know, I don't. And as Don Tony would say, it's in Japan. It's in Japanese. And as Don Tony would say, I don't speak Japan. So I don't speak Japan. And I think none of you, my listeners, and I apologize to my Japanese contingency because I know we have some Japanese listeners. You're the only ones that would understand it if I play it. And you're only going to hear about 3 or 4 words in English, which is the wrestlers' names, because they're all gaijin, which is pretty funny. So yeah, we'll talk a little bit. We'll talk a little bit, and we got maybe some wrestling news. I'll take a quick break. And then we'll do a throwback, and then that's it. I'm going to start my weekend, and I got a huge weekend. I want to give a shout-out to my son, Michael, who's going to be in a production of James and the Giant Peach tonight. Michael's been doing this drama class for like almost 2 years now, and he's worked really, really hard with him and his crew. And their opening night is tonight. They have two shows, tonight and tomorrow. I'll be at tonight's show. Tomorrow I will not. And, you know, I just want to wish him luck. I know he listens sometimes. I know he's not supposed to be, but I know he does. So he knows I love him, and I'm happy for him, and I'm happy he found something that's that he can do well. He does it well. He's you know, he enjoys this, and we try to get him into sports. He's not really athletic. I'm gonna try the whole, you know, martial arts thing with him still. I think he has a knack for, like, you know, mixed martial arts and like judo and jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. So I think he's got, and he likes to play the video games. So I think we're trying to get him into doing that. I want him to do something productive, physical, and besides the drama, I want him to be more well-rounded. And I think every parent, a lot of you guys that listen to the show, a lot of my peers also, you guys are all parents. I'm sure you want your children to be well-rounded human beings, because in this day and age, they're all just sitting in front of, you know, video games and computers and tablets and phones, and they're just being being like vegetables. So I want him to do something productive. This drama thing is really productive. He's got wonderful instructors. They're friends of ours. They have theater experience. They've done off-Broadway stuff. They've done musicals and all that. And they have this program for kids called Bridges to Broadway. And it's a fantastic program. He does it once a week. He practices. But he's been practicing all for the last couple weeks every day. So he's been coming home pretty wiped out. Like, the other day I said to him, hey, you had practice tonight? He goes, oh. He goes, I had practice, but the kids in the back wouldn't shut up. So they're doing grown-up things, and they're still being kids. So it's going to be fun tonight. Maybe we'll post some pictures on the Throwbacks page of Mikey doing his thing. So, and he actually confessed to me something at dinner the other night. He said to me, he goes, how come I'm not doing stuff on the show anymore? And because he used to have like a little segment that Tony C actually talked him into doing, which is pretty funny. That's a cool story if you go listen to that back. So Mikey's got his own segment. And I said, well, the reason why you don't have a segment is because, A, you're hardly ever home anymore. You have a better social calendar than me and your mom, you know. And B, you see your dad every other weekend. So stuff that I have planned, you know, sometimes I worked around you and you weren't there. So, and now the summertime is all jacked up, because if I have him home more than 2 weeks out of the year consecutively, like every night, we're lucky, because he goes to see his dad. He goes to see his grandparents. Like, he takes little trips, and he basically stays with his dad because his dad has the same schedule he does, because his dad works in the school system as well. So, like, we don't see him very often from, like, the end of June to, like, Labor Day, you know, unless we physically have to take him on vacation or something like that. So I was actually talking to my sister today. We're thinking about doing something for the summer, but I have to make sure I have to work around his social calendar. It's pretty scary when you're soon to be 11-year-old. He'll be 11. I can't believe it. He's gonna be 11 years old in 12 days. It's astounding. But I can't believe that my almost 11-year-old kid has a better social calendar than me, you know. But God bless him. I'm glad he's doing his thing. Glad everybody's doing their thing. Just give a quick shout out to all my peers, man. You guys are doing. I see your stuff on social media. I'm downloading your podcasts. I'm downloading your shows. It may take me a couple of days to catch up and listen, but I got to tell you, man, I love all of you guys. Even though I don't say it all the time, even though I don't support, even though if I don't call into your shows all the time, even though I don't show you love on social media all the time, I do listen. I do appreciate, and it motivates me. It motivates Choppy. It motivates other peers that we have to do our very best. So we appreciate all you guys. So, you know, I always say this at the end of the show. We have links to all of our friends' shows on all of our pages. Go to, you know, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. I know Kevin, Shining Wizards Kevin, has a new venture on that. So go peep that with his comedian pals. Go peep that. And, of course, RantEMRadio.com. And I'm happy to say that Rant EM Radio will be taking, and I think the Wizard might take it too, but Rant EM Radio will be taking my new venture, and I'm going to be releasing the debut episode, well, the date of the debut episode, which will be live, on Rant EM Radio. It's going to be late next month. I'm probably going to announce it in 2 weeks, which I believe is the 15th of June, which is, I think, the next time me and Chop will be in studio together, because we're not going to be in it next week. So Chops and I will be in studio on the 15th, and we're gonna debut the date of the episode one of Ghetto Geek Squad, coming to Rant, maybe coming to the Shining Wizards Network, I'm not sure. And that's going to be cool. I don't know how much it's going to be in terms of, like, consecutive. I don't know if it's going to be, like, once a week or once a month or bi-weekly or bi-monthly. We're just going to hit you with it. It's pretty hard to get all of a lot of my friends in the same room or on Skype. Because we're all adults. Some of us are married. Some of us have kids. Some of us have marriage, kids, and a fucking shitty work schedule like me. So we have to work around that. And I really want certain people involved in this project because it's something that we do off cam, off microphone all the time. Like, I think when me and Choppy aren't talking about wrestling, we're talking about comic books and movies and music and sci-fi and fantasy stuff. And the same thing with my buddy Lou, my buddy Dooch. I know even when I used to call into William Morgan's call-in show, we'd get into some other stuff. Surfer and his show, like, we'd always get into... The conversations always come up. That's why you're getting Ghetto Geek Squad. Ghetto Geek Squad is just a bunch of kids from the hood getting together and talking geek stuff. It's going to be really fun. I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm working on an intro. That's the hardest part, is getting the intro, because I'm not a DJ. I don't have a beat machine. I want to do something, you know, to coincide with. So any of my DJ friends are listening, any of my music friends that are listening, if you guys have music you want to contribute to either this show or the new project, please inbox me on Facebook or text me if you have my number, or email me at turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. So, yeah, so that's going to be cool. I'm very excited about that. So I went to the Met game last night. Mets aren't doing too well. This rookie manager is, like, overmanaging. Like, for example, this kid Lugo pitches last night. He goes 4 innings. Now, the weather wasn't bad. It rained during the day, but there was no rain delay. This kid started on time. He was good. He pitched 4 solid innings. He had 3 strikeouts. I think he walked like 2 people, gave up one or two hits or 3 hits. And then they pull him after 4 innings. They bring this other guy, Robles, in for the 5th inning. Gives up a 2-run home run. And ironically, the Cubs scored 3 more runs, and they beat him 5-1. I left in the 7th inning. Me and my buddy Simon, we left. I was like, oh, man, this is terrible. Like you could see. And then the lineup, I'm looking at the lineup, and he's got the catcher batting cleanup. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why isn't, you know, so-and-so batting? And all of a sudden, like, before they came up to bat in the bottom of the 1st inning, they changed it. And I'm like, oh, man. But this guy used his bullpen. I know a lot of you guys are baseball fans. And if you are, then you know that when you use your bullpen a lot, they get tired. You know, you're playing 3, 6, sometimes 9 games in 8 days, you know, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's a rough schedule when you play 162 games a year. So the first month that we were doing well, that bullpen was being abused, and now these kids are fucking tired, and by the time they get a chance to rest, who's getting hurt? Who's got the blister on the finger? Who pulled an oblique rib cage, muscle, shoulder thing? Like, stop. Don't overmanage. Like, on paper, this team is supposed to compete for a wild card, possibly a division title, and it's not happening right now. And I know it's only June, but by the end of next month, we're going to be towards the halfway point of the season. Like, I don't understand. So my Metropolitans better get it together, man. I mean, I'm used to failing, so I'm getting abused by other fans of other teams. I know my buddy Ron in Iowa, huge Braves fan. He's older gentleman. He's one of my Stratomatic friends. He's been messaging me last week from due to homestand. He's like, oh, how's that going? I'm like, yes, Ron, you won 2 games. Oh, look at that. And then, oh, you got one back. And then, like, every time they win against us. I get a message from, like, 6 a.m. So, thank you, sir. Thank you. So, Yeah, and I gotta tell you, man, like, it's expensive to eat at the ballpark. Like, my buddy bought me a beer that was $13, right? Parking is $25. We're not even in the fucking stadium yet. It's $25 to park, right? $13 for a beer. I paid $24 for a soda, a large soda. Two hot, and then they had like the combo meal. So it was two Nathan's hot dogs and a pretzel, or pretzel bites for like, and then that was $24. And then my buddy went and got soda later on with Cracker Jacks. That was like $14. I'm like, $7 for Cracker Jacks. It's crack prices. Then they got all the gourmet. They opened up a bourbon bar, right? You can go buy bourbon. And like, it's like a brand new bar behind a promenade. It's like $13 for a drink. $13.50. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, yeah, oh, you get a 20-ounce can of Bud Light for $13. And I was like, a 20-ounce can of Bud Light should be like $3 in the convenience store. Maybe $5, depending on where in the country you live, you know? So listen, man, and me and Choppy have been saying this for a long time, man. Entertainment costs, it's a premium now, man. So if you're a blue-collar dude like myself who doesn't make a lot of money or makes just enough to get by, like, you don't want to be spending $60 in food and drink at a ballpark. If I'm spending $60 on food, I'd rather get a steak. Go to a steakhouse and get a fucking porterhouse for $60, you know? That's why I'm leaving New York, because I can't take the crowdedness. I was talking to my sister this morning on the phone, and my sister moved basically to the ass end of the suburbs in East New York, like Long Island, in Suffolk County. And she's like, "Phil, I'm homesick." I'm like, "Well, I went to go visit my mom a few weeks ago for Mother's Day, and I'm like, my mom still lives near our old neighborhood. I'm like, I'm homesick too, and a lot of stuff ain't the same anymore, but let me tell you, and I told her, I'm like, you moved away. Right around the corner from where you moved, they're selling 6-family apartment buildings for $2.4 million. So even if you moved back to the hood, you, your 4 kids, your husband, your pets, you wouldn't be able to afford an apartment anymore. And my brother-in-law has a good job. He works for the city. He has a city job, and he would afford the rent. But then the utilities and, you know, and then kids. Kids cost a lot of money. You know, and she would be, and they wouldn't be able to eat. Like, what the hell was going on with this country? Not just in the country, just New York, you know, just New York. So, it is what it is. And I'm done with New York. First opportunity I get, I'm leaving. You know, I don't want to leave, but like, I can't. I hate living out here. I hate living where I live now because there's nothing like. And I had this conversation again with my sister this morning. Where I grew up, and I think I've mentioned this on the show a couple of times, like, I didn't drive till I was in my late 20s because I didn't have to. You know, I was 5 minutes away from a subway or a bus. That subway, that 5 minute walk to the subway, was an 18 minute ride to Manhattan. Was a 40-minute ride to the Bronx or other parts of Brooklyn, or an hour. Like, I can walk to the supermarket. I can walk to the pharmacy. I can walk to a hospital, okay? Legit, it wasn't the best hospital, but it was a hospital. You know, you can walk to all of these things where I lived. That's why, too, that rent is so high there, because you're in the hub of everything, and you're on the borough of 2 different boroughs in the 5 boroughs in New York City. So, and then you move out to the suburbs, like my sister did, like I did, and I'm like, dude, like today I want to get ahead, and I don't have my car, my wife has the car, right? So I have to take a fucking 45 minute to an hour bus ride or train ride to my barber to get a fucking head shave and a shape up on the beard. Like, what the fuck, man? Then I gotta go to, you know, and I gotta find, you know, like, I want to get my nephew a birthday card for his birthday, and so now I gotta find the store to do that. Then I gotta go meet my wife. Then I gotta go, you know, then I go see Michael's show, and like, none of this without a car is easy, you know. So like, you know, even here, like, it's a 15-minute walk to anything remotely. You know what I'm saying? Like, It's a 15-minute walk to the movie theater, right, from here to my local theater. And in the same parking lot is a CVS, and then down a block is like a, there's McDonald's and all the fast food gimmicks, and then there's dollar stores and shit, Japanese, Chinese restaurants. I think there's a Boston Market over there, gas station, but it's a 15-minute walk. I mean, it's a 6-minute drive when there's no traffic lights. You know, I could take the car and go down the other day. I took the car right down the block, you know, whatever. But it's a 15-minute walk to there's all these gimmicks on foot. And I'm fat and I'm lazy and I'm tired. Like, you know, I'm right now, I'm physically, you know, it was like, oh, you have Friday off. You have Friday's off. You should be happy. You have a 3-day weekend. Yeah, I am. But because I work like an animal and I travel 16 hours a week to go to work. 4 hours each day, two and from work, 2 hours at least. Minimum, if I'm not stuck in traffic. Or the boat is late, or whatever the case may be, whatever my mode of travel is. Then I work a 10-hour shift. Like, it's not, you know what I'm saying? And this week I worked a 12-hour shift in the middle of my 40 hours, right? So I was like, man, by the time I got home last night, like I was dozing off on the bus. Like I was dozing off. I was so tired. I could barely walk home. And that's a minute. That's a 5 or 10 minute walk, you know? So I'm not complaining. I'm just sharing my everyday grind. I'm not really mad. I'm just upset that I'm doing this for so long and I'm like, oh, you know. And everybody's like, well, you could get a car. Yeah, I could get a car, but then that adds another couple hundred bucks in my budget every month. Like, right now, it only costs me a little bit to travel with the, you know, with mass transit. But now if I get a car, that's more tolls, that's gas, that's maintenance on another car. Like, it's another fucking expense, man. Like, people think it's, oh, well, you know, you should be, then you have to, and if you, anybody who's worked in Manhattan, try parking out there. You cannot. You'll never park. You'll never find a parking spot. I know people who drive to work. I know people who work my shift, and they choose to drive because it's easier for them. But they also don't pay a toll like I do. But then they have to drive in an hour and a half before their shift starts. They can just find parking. Can you believe that? So here I am traveling 2 hours just to get here on time. And they're traveling an hour and a half early just to find a parking spot. Crazy, right? So, yeah. So, it's... and, of course, the heat doesn't help because I'm fat and I sweat. So, it is what it is. Welcome to summer of 2018. It's going to be a fun summer either way. I'm very excited about the stuff we have coming up for you guys. We have a lot of good shows coming up for you. Working on getting this room done. I got a couple of guests that I might be in studio, which I'm super excited about. We added some new blood to the Facebook page, the Instagram page, because behind the scenes, we're in a little bit of a transition with that. I don't want to, you know, it's none of anybody's business of what's going on, but we have some new people working on some stuff for us so we can keep it fresh and just, you know, keep it tight. You know, we've been doing this for a long time. And we want to give you guys the very best of what we do. And, you know, the social media is a huge extension of who me and Choppy and the show are. So, you know, we're very active on social media. So that's our biggest link to you guys as the fan base is the social media. So yeah, I'm happy about that. I haven't watched a lot of wrestling except for what I watch on YouTube for the throwback today and just watching promos. I went into a wormhole of wrestling commercials because, you know, I did, you remember the Mellow Yellow with Dusty Rhodes. I found another one today, which I'm pretty happy about. I was playing at. There's like two or three of different ones. But yeah, I just got into a wormhole and that's how I found today's throwback because Dusty Rhodes' opponent had another match on the playlist of some guy's playlist, and I'm like, oh, this is perfect, but it's in Japan. I don't speak Japan, but I love Japanese wrestling. I'm a casual fan. I'm not, you know, speaking of Japan, Japanese wrestling, I want to give a shout out to one of our peers, Eric, from the classic Japanese wrestling webpage. He used to have the uploads, the Hero archive file of all the matches before it got cut off, but he's a frequent visitor of Japan. He's a huge Japanese wrestling expert, Mark, whatever you want to call him. He lost his mom the other day, so he runs a very, very successful wrestling page. I know he travels to Japan a lot to see the matches, so just a shout out to him. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm a very casual fan. I don't post a lot on there because these guys are like, they're like very, very like, if you don't know your stuff, they'll eat you alive, you know. And I don't want to claim I know anything. I'm a New Japan Mark. I like some of the old Japan stuff from the 90s, hence why I'm inspired today. So, with that all being said, my condolences to Eric and his family. So, all right. Let's get into some wrestling news, per se. I read the Money in the Bank lineup for June 17th in Chicago. Let's see here. Let me just run down the card real quick. Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley. Nobody cares. Roman Reigns fighting Jinder Mahal. Raw tag team title match. To be determined against Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. This is the updated listing as of this morning. SmackDown tag title match. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson versus the Bludgeon Brothers. That should be a slobber knocker, as JR would say. SmackDown women's title match, Asuka versus Carmella. And then the biggest one is the Raw women's title match, Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax. This was just added, WWE IC title match, Seth Rollins defending against Elias, which is very cool. I'm glad Elias is getting a title shot. And let's see here, last man standing match. Now, the Nakamura Styles match from last month, not so good. I'm hoping this one is a little better. Like, they're just not clicking for some reason in WWE. It's not like New Japan. I don't understand why. They're two amazing performers. I have no idea why this is happening on TV, why they suck so bad. If you guys have an answer for me, please, I want to hear your reasons on social media. And then a women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Ember Moon, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Natalia, Lana, Naomi, Sasha Banks. We'll give our predictions next week. Well, no. We'll give our predictions on the 15th because the 17th is the pay-per-view. So I'm going to run down the card now, and then I'll run down the card again when Choppy's back in studio. Men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Strowman versus Finn Balor versus The Miz versus Rusev versus Kevin Owens versus Bobby Roode versus a member of the New Day, which I'm hoping is Biggie Langston, and Samoa Joe. I like what they're doing. From what I read, Raw has been absolutely dismal. SmackDown taking a dive as well. I don't know why they're just continuing to give you guys shitty content. I'm not really invested in the new stuff a lot right now. I can care less. And it really baffles me. And we've said this. I hate beating a dead horse. But you see this all the fucking time. Like, why is it that these guys, they haven't had this much talent on any of their rosters, like this much in like decades? Not taking away from the Attitude Era, not taking anything away from the early 2000s with Orton and Batista and Edge, and because they were phenomenal too in their own right. But like, come on, man, you have Kevin Owens, you have Nakamura, the Strong Style King. You have AJ Styles, probably the best well-rounded wrestler on the planet next to Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada. I don't understand. You have Asuka. Like, you have players, man. Use your fucking players. Do the right thing. It's crazy. I understand the whole writing team aspect now. I understand how it goes down. I understand the logic behind what they're doing. I don't agree with it, but let some of these wrestlers write their own stuff. Like, give them character development, like, 101. Like, I know NXT puts these kids on behind, you know, in front of green screens, and they, you know, like, it's a deal, you know? But while they're developing this character of theirs, let them talk. Let them be free. Let them ad-lib, you know? Let them be a little more productive with their character development. You'd be surprised that somebody, I mean, maybe a lot, and let's be honest, and I'll play devil's advocate, maybe some of these kids don't have any kind of, like, drive like that. Maybe they're all talented in the ring, maybe they're all spot monkeys, and then they just can't talk. Which is basically the independents. Seriously. The independents have, like, spot after spot after spot after spot. And if they don't stay in one indie fed, there's no story. So there's no incentive for them to be productive. And I'll get into the indies in a second because I want to talk about All In. But that's your card. And WWE sucks right now. SmackDown is very not too far behind. And it's sad. NXT is still good. You know, I'm happy for that. I'm excited about SummerSlam and the weekend. Everybody's coming here and for TakeOver, and that's going to be fun. MLW's is an up-and-coming fed. That's Count Bauer's fed. I'm probably going to go to their stuff in July, which is right near my work, on a Thursday night. So I might, you know, leave work and go head out there and see that. That should be fun. Literally, like, a 15-minute drive from where I work, from Manhattan to Queens. So that should be cool. I know Best of the World. I watched Ring of Honor's stuff in England last week. And let me tell you something, man. Ring of Honor right now couldn't be better. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. I love what they're doing with Cody and the Bullet Club. I love what they're doing with Bully Ray. Even though I'm not a big Bully Ray fan. The Briscoes and the Bucks are about to bang heads again. They always incorporate the New Japan guys. The women's matches are getting a little better. I'm not too big on the women's division there. There's nothing there. And again, I'm kind of biased. I don't like women's wrestling, but I'll watch it because I appreciate wrestling in as a whole. However, they're not that good. Like, I'm sorry, they're not. I'm hoping it gets better for them, you know, because they put a lot of time and effort into branching out to women's division. Again, Ring of Honor doing great, and the England crowd, our buddy Bazza was at one of the shows. The England crowds are amazing. They are on another planet in England. They treat wrestling way, way, way better than some of the cities in our country do, and states. It's like night and day. I love everything about our you know, British contingency and our fan base over there too, because they just treat wrestling better than the states do, just hands down. It's same thing with music too. Like I have friends in bands that are very successful, like they're on major record labels. You know, they'll play here for 7,000 people. Well, how come you don't come to Oklahoma? How come you don't come to Brooklyn? You know why? Because they'd rather play for 70,000 people at a fucking soccer stadium in London or 70,000 people in Barcelona than play 7,000 people here in some fucking rinky-dinky club, you know? And there's no one buys music anymore, you know? So, like, my friend's band's putting out their 9th album in 20 years. Amazing, amazing work Madball's done. Madball tours a third of the year. Where? Overseas. Europe. South America. Central America. Australia. Like, there's more money there. There's more money to be made there. Like, they'd rather play festivals and headline with major acts than play for a fucking club in Brooklyn that holds 300 people. Sorry. No disrespect, but that's how the music industry is now. That's why I'm paying $75 a ticket in September to go see Ozzy in Jersey. You know? Because it's a premium. No one wants to. No one, you know, no one wants to buy music. So you have to. These artists have to make their money. You know, they starve if they don't. You know, back in the day, signing a record deal meant you made money. Now, because you don't sell records anymore, you don't make money. So you have to go on the road and hustle. It's a deal. It's a big deal, man. It really is. It's a sin, but that's how it is. So shout out to England. I watched all three shows last week. It was fantastic. Dalton Castle, well, wrestling hurt as the world champion. I'm feeling that too. He's legitimately banged up. So Cody and All In thing is picking up a lot of steam. Chicago is all buzz. It's got all the media talking about it. Major newspapers are writing about it. Cody has a world title match against Nick Aldis at All In for the NWA Championship. But Nick Aldis wouldn't sign unless he told Cody, because Cody has a couple of world title shots in ROH, that if Cody wins the world title by All In, that both titles have to be up for grabs. And that's the only way he would defend, and that was it. I like what Billy Corgan's doing with the NWA. I like the fact that he's going to be working with Ring of Honor. I would love to see him work with Japan again. I want to see the belt defended over there, too. Like, I see, again, and Choppy's been telling you this for months and months and months. You guys have options. You don't have to watch WWE. There's a lot of wrestling going on right now. Just keep it locked. Keep your ear to the ground. Keep your eyes on the interwebs. You'll be fine. But the All-In thing's picking up steam. And it's a fun deal, man. It really is. And the CM Punk, they had a CM Punk. There's a CM Punk. We talked about this too. There's actually a CM Punk signing at the Wrestling Tea Store in Chicago, and they were selling packages like $90. You get this, you get that, or whatever. And I tell you, it sold out in like under 30 minutes. And there's a rumor that he may be at All In. Cool. So they sold an arena out without even announcing. They announced one match, kids. And if Cody Rhodes does this, and again, he's not the greatest wrestler either. He's solid. He's gotten a lot better too since he's left. If he wins the NWA championship, just think about that for a second. Your dad won that championship 3 times. You might be the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. May not hold weight with some of you younger wrestling fans, but that's the oldest title in the business right now, kids. That title has lineage. I know the last 10 title holders you guys know nothing about, unless it's Colt Cabana and Magnus. But again, that title has lineage. Holly Race, Lou Thesz, Jack Briscoe, Dorian Terry Funk, Ric Flair, Kerry Von Erich, Dusty Rhodes, Ronnie Garvin, title holders. I think the Great Muta had it. Or Masa Chono had it, I think. I have to look. I'm doing this by memory. I'm not, It's the oldest title in the business. In the wrestling business. I hate to say the business because I'm not in the business. The wrestling business. I'm not. I'm just a fan. I'm not like, oh, that guy's, he knows nothing about the business. They call it the business. I'm sorry. And then you keep rephrasing. But the wrestling business is the oldest title in the wrestling business. Respect it. And I think it'd be pretty freaking cool to have Cody Rhodes win it. I think they'd be the first father-son team to be a world champion. The NWA world champion. Awesome. I think it's fantastic. What I would love to see even more is, well, I don't think Dustin's going anywhere. I think Goldust is going to be like a trainer for NXT. He's in WWE. He's a lifer. But can you imagine if he was a free agent and Cody wins the world title and he goes after his brother? Instant draw. Both guys can work, and both guys are they're Dusty's, the fruit of Dusty's loins, man. Come on. Can't get any better than that shit, Crazy, man. I can't wait to be in Chicago for Labor Day weekend now. I was not excited. I was not. the boys were like, come on, you got to go. Let's do it. You'll have fun. We'll, you know, we'll go see Elaine sweetened the pot. Like, we'll go see baseball. Yes, we'll go see baseball. I was more excited about going to see a $7 baseball game than I was about the wrestling match. Now I'm excited about the wrestling match. And I'm excited that I'm going to have another day. I'm getting an extra day in Chicago. And I'm going to have I'm going to hopefully see people I haven't seen in years. Hopefully I get to see people I haven't seen yet, meet people. There's two people I really want to meet, my peers. I haven't never met them before. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to be with my boys, with some of my takeover crew. And my cousin, my cousin's going to be there with me. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be all in. No pun intended. There's talks of even making t-shirts for the event. I'm excited. I'm just super, super stoked. I will be doing a podcast from there at some point of the weekend. I'm going to be recording. I'm bringing the laptop with me and the mic. So we're definitely going to have that. I'm going to have Choppy on from New York. It's going to be fantastic. So that's the only drawback, is that Choppy can't be with me. That's the biggest part of me being sad. It would be that. Okay, so that's all out of the way. I think I got all the wrestling talk out of the way, the current shit, except for one more thing. Enzo Amore. So, of course, we all know Enzo has been cleared of all the... Well, he wasn't charged with anything. He was accused of sexual assault, apparently it was, right? So, of course, after this chick lied about everything and dropped all the fucking charges... He wasn't charged with anything. WWE still fired him anyway because it was alleged. And you know how that goes, you know. He went and wrote a rap song about his current situation. So I'm going to play some of this. And I know you guys all heard it, but for those who didn't hear it, it's a treat. It's... As a hip-hop head myself, as a connoisseur of anything old-school hip-hop, anything... I'm not really big into the current scene, but... I'll give him an A for effort. You know what I'm saying? He tried, but this is pretty fucking bad. Let me just play a little bit for you, all right? Let's do it. Calling himself Phoenix. Oh, the song's called Phoenix by Real One. That's his hip-hop name, Real One. All right. Let's see here.
Ma, it's the 25th anniversary of wrestling tonight. And if you knew anything about commitment, you wouldn't be asking me to go to the store for you. Now let me stay and do my work.
You fucking piece of shit in that wrestling.
Ma, you let me do my job. Hello? What do you mean? What do you mean? Oh, oh. Hold on, breaking news!
Listen up, you sloppy, jalopy son of a bitch. Sitting on your fucking couch with your fucking phone in your hand, doing your armchair detective work, think you know what the fuck's going on. When was the last time you kept a 2-month social media silence? You think I wasn't gonna say shit?
I'ma let y'all talk shit. If I had a fuck to give, I would give it. If you feeling froggy, you ain't gotta leave. All you gotta do is rip it. Putting on a zero fucks giving exhibit. I got nothing to lose. Minute for minute, then a minute to win it. Sky's the limit. Sorry, officer. Gotta admit it. Yeah, I'm over the limit. Left car now with a one-way ticket. Rolled up with it. Spark that bitch. Car 99 with it. Lit my lips. Piss excellence. Bitch, I just shit it. Eyes full of hate on the crazy eights. Let's see how I pivot. Ball my court, bounce back, we're at number 24.
Walk a shit footprint right off my image.
Wow. Don't just love, cause you can listen. Wow. Double that sword, once I love, once I hate. Either way, I glisten. I ain't dumb. What's it gonna say, what's it gonna do? Got him on the toes like a midget. Out of urinal. Couple red roses, I'm a gimmick. Couple tears at the funeral. They cry tears of joy at my funeral. Yeah. They cry tears of joy at my funeral.
Still I rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Middle finger to the sky, gripping my consensual penis. Lying asshole out in Phoenix. When I say this shit, I mean it. Fuck you, Marks, I hate it. This for all my fans are waiting. Entertainment's hottest free agent. Bitch, I'm reincarnated.
Gucci with you, dirty bitch.
Faggots is bliss, so is innocence. This apocalypse, guilty till you proven innocent. Ass back is bullshit, is it? Ass back was bullshit.
lot less to prove than you. The only thing I put in that pudding was proof. Yeah, the proof is in the pudding, bitch. Pudding ain't got no roof or lane. Nah, I ain't Bill Cosby, bitch. Nah, I ain't Bill Cosby, bitch. Proof was the only ingredient I used to make this shit. They can feel when you're real.
When you genuine, you buy the wheel.
6 years as a role model. Time to start a dream out. Going full throttle. I ain't thinking about tomorrow. I ain't got a buck to bar. Lawyer up and wipe me down. See you at the civil trial. Bitch, some wages getting garnished. Bitch, some wages getting garnished for my image that you tarnished.
I ain't asking for an ounce of sorrow. So this was in my life.
I can't wait for tomorrow. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Rockstar lifestyle might not make it. Fame can be forsaken. Tweeting allegations, falsified statement, fake news and defamation.
Man. Why can't you just take the how you doing? So let me, I got this from WorldStar actually. Let me just read some of the comments. We ain't gonna see Enzo return to WWE for a long time. And then one kid wrote, that's that awkward moment when you become more famous for rapping than on national television. This kid wrote, the lyrics are so ridiculous, doesn't make any sense at all, and just too damn funny. This is some really bad, really bad shit. I've already... Oh, I can't read this fucking kid. Can't even write. One kid wrote, I'm usually not a big rap guy, but this is awesome. And it hits him where it hurts. TMZ owned me some restitution. He quotes the song. This is it. Enzo roasts WWE. I've never doubted Enzo. Just crazy. I feel bad for Enzo. I do, because, like, he didn't do anything wrong, but in the same sense, he's guilty by association. Jimmy Cornette had some shit to say. I want to play that for a second after this fucking commercial about Peru. Hold on a minute. Here. Shit, fucking, I hate fucking YouTube.
I was trying to fiddle with these buttons earlier, and you surprised me with that thing, is what you did, but we've got... this coast-to-coast intercontinental coaxial cable hookup between your house and my house, Castle Cornet and Last Manor, where we're apparently going to simulcast this video that we're about to talk about, and where we can both see it and hear it at the same time, and the folks can hear it at least. But it's by this Enzo Amore, and...
the artist formerly known.
ink pen or done something to... This is Enzo Amore, who is now re.
What the?
I love
him. I got me against the world.
Phoenix middle finger.
Doing, help me.
Okay, here we
that
go.
Penis.
I just had to look up the lyrics, and I pulled up a few of them right here.
Well, yeah, because I honestly was he was speaking English most of that time, wasn't he? It's just. I recognized a few of the words. It's just that he's so horrible at what he's apparently doing. Help me. What was some of the stuff he was saying?
Still, I rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Middle finger to the ground. Hold on. Ahem. Still, I rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Middle finger to the sky. Hold on. I'll get through this. All right.
Yeah.
Still I rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Middle finger to the sky, gripping my consensual penis. Lion ass hoe at a phoenix. Bitch, them wages getting garnished for my image that you tarnished. I gotta see if I can find more of these lyrics. Hold on.
I can see them presenting the case of how great his image was before she tarnished it. Oh my God. Fucking moron. Like I said, I've never met the guy, but now I officially hate him. I would have stabbed him in the heart the first day, probably.
It's really hard to read this because it's just kind of like words. I'm gonna let y'all talk shit. If I had a fuck to give, I would give it. If you feel froggy, ain't got a leap. All you got to do is rib it. getting on zero fucks given exhibit. I got nothing to lose minute for minute. Then I'm in it to win it. Sky's the limit. Sorry, officer. Got to admit it. Yeah, I'm over the limit. Left court now with a one-way ticket. Rolled up with it. Sparked that bitch. Hut 99 to left.
What?
I love when white people read hip-hop lyrics. I'm going to play devil's advocate about something, really, though. These guys don't know anything about hip-hop. My biggest thing was the delivery. Like, I felt like it was... His flow was... The lyrics are... If you're a hip-hop fan, they make sense, obviously. But they're not hip-hop fans, so they... But when Jim Cornette tears you apart on social media, like, it's kind of like... not the nail in the coffin per se, but, you know, he does still have a voice. And this is my whole point of old fucking relics trying to be relevant. I don't agree with a lot of shit Cornette says. I do agree with him sometimes because he, you know, the guy did a ton of stuff in the wrestling business. So, but, you know, people in general, not just white people, people who don't know hip-hop really can't grasp the... Because the guy Brian who's with him is like making fun of the lyrics. Obviously, Brian's not a hip-hop fan because if he was, he would know some of the lingo and some of the rhymes that Enzo was spitting. But... My whole deal was the beat was not that great, and then the delivery was like, it was, it was like rushed. Like, I felt like he could have delivered it better, with a better beat. The video was not necessary either. Funny, the video was actually more comical than the song. But I thought his delivery was off. That's why it's terrible. So... He even freestyled on Hot 97. They let him freestyle. I didn't hear it yet, but I'm going to hear it. Yeah, so it's been a fun week listening to watching YouTube. And yeah, Enzo's trying to rap. I do hope he goes back to wrestling. I liked Enzo. I did. I was a fan. Matter of fact, I'm looking at his pop right now. My son's got the Enzo and Kaz Funko Pops that came, the WWE had. So he has those sitting in my room right now. Sitting next to Panthro and Chitara. And Money Inc. And Beast Man from He-Man. Courtesy of Choppy and my wife. the little Lannister guy from... Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones is up there too. And my other Pops are in... And I got Tank sitting next to me too. So... All right, listen, let's take a quick break. Let's play some plugs. Come back, do a throwback for you, and then I got to start my day, all right? So you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We are live on rantemradio.com, part of the Shining Wizards Network, as always, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or Facebook.com/Inconclusive Breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Live, RantEMRadio.com, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network, Philly Rea, in studio today, riding solo. Alright, well, I picked this song because it's the theme, was the theme of one of our combatants. So, and plus, it's a kick-ass song. It's probably it's my favorite Kiss album, I think. Everybody, you know, if you have a favorite Kiss album, I do. It's Creatures of the Night. Creatures of the Night has this song, another song called "I Still Love You," which is a really good ballad. It's like a hard. It's pretty hard though. The drums are pretty dope in it. It's a nice ballad. It's a cool song. And of course, they have Taz's theme, "War Machine," and it's the first album without Eric Carr on, Eric Carr's on drums. It was their first album with Eric Carr on drums, and Peter Criss wasn't in the band. Give me one second. I want to see something here, because I don't want to misquote myself. I know this came out, let me just do this real quick, because now it's going to bother me. Give me one second. This came out in 82, and it was the first album with Vinnie Vincent on guitar. So no Ace Frehley and no Peter Criss. Let's see here. Yeah, it was 82, and then the next album was Lick It Up, and that's when they took the makeup off. But there's an alternate cover, which is then without the makeup, an 85 re-release with Bruce Kulick on guitar at that point. Yeah, Vinnie Vincent got fired like twice or three times or whatever. And by 82, they weren't that good. Their popularity wasn't good, you know. But yeah, Peter Criss did not participate in any of the sessions. Eric Carr, like I said, Eric Carr was a really good drummer too. So, but yeah, man, this was "I Love It Loud." Was a good song, and it was the song of Terry Bam Bam Gordy's Old Japan intro. So, without further ado, let's get into tonight's throwback. And I'm going to play the theme, even though nobody's here. Let's do it, man.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right, so we're kicking this back to August of 1990. This was from the Park Gymnasium in Chiba, Japan. This was All Japan Wrestling. This was the, what was the name of this card, actually? Where the hell was it? It was called, what the hell was the name of it? Give me one second. I had it written down here on my notes. Now I have to go back into the interwebs and look at it. Where is it? 1990. There it is. It was the All Japan Superpower Series 1990 Day 17. Not really well versed on All Japan. I just know Kenta Kobashi and Misawa, Stan Hansen, Terry Gordy, Dr. Detsy Williams, Jumbo Tsuruta. But this was, at the time, Terry Bam Bam Gordy was the Triple Crown All Japan champion. He had beat Jumbo Tsuruta, rest in peace. Also, rest in peace to Terry Gordy, obviously. Jumbo Tsuruta was an amazing talent. And we're probably going to be covering him this summer on Turnbuckle Throwbacks if I find a good match. He passed away in May of 2000. He was 45 years old. He was trained by the Funks. He had that big backdrop as his finisher. He had the knee strike, the Thez press. He fought over 3,000 matches in his career in Japan. He was 6'4", 279. He was a beast. Jumbo Tsuruta was a beast, and he could move for a big man. Of course, we all know Terry Bam Bam Gordy, famous or infamous as one of the members of the Fabulous Freebirds. Started wrestling at a really, really young age. He was 6'4", 289. He passed away in 2001. He made his debut in 1977. So, he was the father of Ray Gordy, uncle of Richard Slinger, who was another wrestler, trained by Ray Gordy. We all know Terry Bam Bam Gordy had the backdrop and the big powerbomb. He did a lariat. He did a DDT. Second rope power slam. He called it the Bam Bam Slam. He did the STF. The Asiatic Spike, which is the thumb to the throat. Obviously, he was the very infamous tag team with Dr. Death, Steve Williams, one of my top five favorite teams of all time, the Miracle Violence Connection. He was also the executioner in WWF with Paul Bearer. He was managed by Paul Lee at one point and Sunshine. He was NWA Tag Team Champion. He was world-class champion, tag team, six-man. He fought over 2,000 matches as well. I picked this match because I was in a wormhole, and I love Gaijin in Japan. I think it's fun that these guys are a big part of history, especially Stan Hansen, who next to I want to say, wow, I'm not comparing him to Kenny Omega in terms of wrestling, but in popularity, he was probably the most famous, next to Dory Funk, the most famous gaijin in Japan. And if I'm wrong, please, guys, whoever is better well-versed in Japanese wrestling than I am, please correct me. Mega Powers included. But in the 90s, in the early 90s, when I was in high school, I was tape trading. And I would constantly see these matches. Vader, Bam Bam, Gordy, Williams, Hansen, and they would rotate, teaming up, fighting against each other. You'd get Hulk Hogan once in a while involved, you get Baba involved, you get Jumbo Tsuruta, then you get Kenta Kobashi and Misawa is probably one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. It's just that he died so young, and you know, he wasn't really well appreciated in the States until the content became available. I think after like 2005, with the implementation of YouTube and like Dailymotion and shit like that, I feel like these guys got their due. I mean, the hardcore fans knew who they were, and if you bought Pro Wrestling Illustrated, they always had a write up in there about the guys, but you never really saw them unless you watched them. And tape trading was a big deal because, you know, it, when you swapping tapes with people from different regions, you know, they'd get their hands on shit, and it's a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. But by the time you got to it, it was like, when you got that tape, man, it was like gold. Like, that was a weekend. Like, when you got that tape, you call your friends, you're like, yo, I just got Old Japan, blah, blah, blah. I just got BGW, BJW, I just got, you know, FMW, IWA. We got anything from Japan, Super Juniors, anything from Japan was like hitting the lotto, you know? On this particular card of this tour, there's a lot of good wrestling on. I'm actually going to look into getting some of these matches back on tape. This one, I want to see this card in particular because, like I said, you know what? This is not the one. Hold on a second. I'm reading. I stand corrected. So the card I'm reading was Terry Gordy beating Tsuruta, and now he's going to fight I'm setting you guys up, actually, what I meant to say. So this was this was June of 1990. This was the Power Series I was telling you about. The match itself was in August of 90. So Terry Gordy had just won the title. He defended it against, he beat Jumbo Tsuruta, and then he defended it and beat him. And on the same card, and I'll read the card down to you, some of the guys you won't know. Momota defeated Masao Orihara. The Mighty Inoue defeated Kikuchi. Hiroka Igen and Okuma defeated Dusty Rhodes Jr. Who was Dusty Rhodes Jr.? Was that Dustin? Yeah, it was. So Dustin Rhodes is on this card. He teamed up with Mark Scarpa, who I think Mark Scarpa was, I forget who Mark Scarpa was. I don't even know who he was. I'm trying to get his information. I don't have it. Abdul the Butcher and Ranger Ross were a team in Japan, if you believe that. They defeated Terunishi and Kimura. Giant Baba and Fuchi defeated Tsunumi and Tiger Jeet Singh. Akira Tae and Nakano defeated Johnny Smith and Davey Boy Smith. Bam Bam Bigelow beat Kenta Kobashi, if you believe that. And then Misawa and Kawada were a team. They were a great team. They defeated Fuyuki and the Great Kabuki. And Dr. Death Steve Williams lost to Stan Hansen. And then, of course, the Old Japan Unified Triple Crown title match with Terry Gordy beating Jumbo Tsuruta. Now, of course, the Miracle Violence connection was going on, and then Gordy had the solo stuff going on from what I read, but Stan Hansen was feuding with both guys, which I thought was cool, taking us to August of 1990, setting up after the Power Series, and this was fantastic. Hold on one second. This was August 6th, 1990. Now I'm going to go pull up the card for August 6th. So let's do that right now for you so I know what the fuck I'm reading here. Where is it? It's here. I know it's here. Let me see. No titles change hand on it in this card. But I'm trying to find the actual card itself. I thought I had it. I don't have it. I'm trying to, because I read it off a website. Come on. My computer sucks today. I apologize. But Anyway, the match was, this was right after the Power Series. So Gordy was still champion, and he defends against Stan Hansen. This is August 6th, 1990, from All Japan. And it was so, I mean, when you read the, and Stan Hansen fought Steve Williams, like, even before, like, this went from, like, 92 to, like, this went from, like, 90 to, like, 92. Like, these guys, all three guys feuded with each other for a long, 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 long time. It was a good match, you know. The match goes about, I want to say, between 11 and 15 minutes. And I say 11 and 15 minutes because the match really didn't end after the match ended. And I'll get into that in a second. You know, very stiff. When you read some of the comments, it's very unsatisfying. I mean, hardcore Japanese fans didn't like this match for some reason. I thought it was great. I mean, Hansen basically controlled the match for most of the time. You know, Gordy fought back and diligently and got advantage after going after one of Hansen's legs. Hansen was, like, limping. So I think he was playing injury or he was hurt. I mean, we don't know. And of course, you don't know until he does a shoot on it. But this Hansen slowed down after that, going after the right arm. Now, Dr. Death Steve Williams comes to ringside. This is where it gets interesting, right? So Steve Williams comes out towards the end of the match and tapes up Gordy's injured arm. So now Gordy's fighting back with one arm. Hansen goes after the arm again. They go back and forth. This is crazy, right? The working on the body part thing was cool, but it basically cost Hansen the match. Because of the interference, well, not initially the interference by Steve Williams, but I'm going to play, where is it? Let's go towards the end of the match. I want to go, because then, I'm just fast forwarding a little bit here, blah, 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 there we go. All right, so this is like eight and a half minutes of the match. Let's do this. So Gordy gets up. He gets Hansen in the corner. He's smacking him. He beats him down. Tries to whip him. Hansen blocks it. Gordy goes and beats him again in the corner. Referee is too small at this point to break it up. Gordy goes for whip again. Hansen reverses it. Hits the lariat. And then it's over. Dr. Death comes in the ring to console his buddy who's, you know, knocked out at this point. You hear the fans singing Hansen's music and chanting his name. That trophy's massive, too. He gets the three belts and this fucking 6-foot trophy. I'm all about trophies. I want a trophy. Gets to his feet. The old Japan brass in the ring giving him the belts. Terry Gordy still on the mat. Dr. Death consoling him. Trying to get him up to his feet. And then Stan Hansen attacks. Gets attacked by Steve Williams. Now Gordy gets up. Now both of them are beating him up. Hansen's fighting them both off. But he's tired. And he's like, gets a second win. And Edge is both now beating the shit out of Stan Hansen, the Miracle Violence Connection. It pours it to the outside of the ring. Hansen now gets a second win. He's beating up on Williams. Goes back into the ring with Williams. And now they're going back at it again. Gordy makes his way back into the ring. Now they're both beating on Hansen again, but Hansen's trying to fight it off. No young boys. No nothing. Nobody came in to help him. No nothing. I can see why the Japanese hardcore fan was a bit disgruntled with the match, because it was pretty one-sided for a while. Hansen had the upper hand, and then Gordy fought back. But by the time Gordy fought back, he was already, the hand was taped up, and then Hansen really, it was, you know, the way he hits the lariat, it wasn't even like a full lariat, but it told a good story in the ring. And you know, I always emphasize the story. He couldn't get Hansen out of the corner, Gordy, right? He goes to whip him twice, three times, punching the shit out of him, like stiff, you know, punches, and nothing. And then he goes to reverse it, goes for a clothesline. Gordy goes for a clothesline. Hansen ducks and fucking connects with the lariat. Not one of his best lariats, per se. Not the one he hit Lex Luger with at Halloween Havoc, but it'll deal with the, you know. I wish some of these guys would use more foreign objects in Japan. Like, I think Hansen would be better if he hit the lariat with that big old cowbell he had, you know. But the match was cool. Like, and it was cool that they... Again, another Gaijin wins this prestigious All Japan Triple Crown 6-foot trophy championship. It's so cool, man. I love when the Geisha girls come in and they're draping him, the winner with the titles, and then the brass come in, the suits come in, they give him the handshake, and he gets this huge trophy, man. Oh, it's beautiful. I just love the culture, man. I love the streamers. I love the fans' reaction. They're not screaming and chanting curse words and yelling. Maybe they are, but because I don't speak Japan. But they just chant the name. They clap. They're very timid people. It's just, it's a great atmosphere. I would love to see a match in Japan like that. I would love to. Maybe one day I will. But that's my little throwback for you guys this week. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. Unfortunately, it wasn't in English, so I apologize. But I did try to tell you guys a good story. And, of course, the belt goes back and forth. Vader gets involved at one point. He wins it. Not a lot of Gaijin do win that title. Let me tell you, you know what? I'm going to pull up the All Japan, the title history, and I'll tell you what happened at that point, so I can just keep you guys, you know. Let me see. Hold on one second. I should have had this up before, but I apologize. I'm just, you know, I wasn't even doing the show today, but... let me just pull this up, and I'll give you a little bit of a story afterwards. Of let's see, Triple Crown Championship history. Here we go, title history. Okay, here we go. So Gordy beat Saruta, right? Like I said, and then Hansen beat Gordy. Then the title's vacant. Gordy was hospitalized. In July of 1990, Saruta won it back in the tournament in 91. Then Stan Hansen won it again in 92. Misawa won it in 92. Steve Williams won it in 90, and then beat Misawa. Then Kawada, then Hansen again, then Misawa again. And then no American held it again until 1999, which was Vader. Okay? Vader did it twice. Then Muda did it. It got vacant again. And then the net, I don't know if Mizuru Suzuki, Muda, Kojima won it. Suzuki won it a bunch of times. Let me see. Aki Bono he won it in 2013. The American sumo wrestler. And if I'm not mistaken, Joe Doering won it in 2007. So Joe Doering was the last American. So one American, two, Vader's three, Steve Williams four, Stan Hansen five, Terry Gordy six are the only American wrestlers to have the title. when it was implemented in 1989. In 1989, there was a Carnival Champion Tour, and Saruta was the NWA International Champion. He defeated Stan Hansen, and the PWF Champion, and the NWA so it was the United National Champion, the PWF Champion, and the International Heavyweight Champion was the triple. That's the Triple Crowns. That's the three belts. It was established in 1989. Your current champion right now is Kento Miyahara, and he won it in March of this year. So, you know, and they just had an anniversary show. Joe Doering won it. Mega Power saw him on a tour in December. The most reigns is Misawa. He had 21 defenses, 5 reigns. Stan Hansen had 4 reigns, 4 defenses. Aki Bono had 2 reigns. Joe Doering had 2 reigns. Vader had 2 reigns. Steve Williams had 1 reign. Terry Gordy had 2 reigns. So not many. Gaijin had the Old Japan Championship. 6. Like I said. So there you have it. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And that's pretty much it. Let me see here. All right, there we go. We'll play some music, and we're going to get the hell out of here. Here's a little Stan Hansen music for you. So, anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. I did. I love talking about these big gaijin brute dudes. Big stiff, slobber knocking, two sides of beef, tougher than the $2 steak sandwiches. Had a good time tonight. Hope you guys enjoyed it, like I said. Don't forget we have shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com. Follow us on all the social media. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Don't forget to support TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, all of our friends on there. Don't forget to support ShiningWoodsNetwork.com, all of our shows and friends on there. Don't forget RantEMRadio.com, all of our shows and friends on there. Don't forget Sunday, Surfers Comic Book Show. Monday, Will Morgan reports the sports after Raw. He's doing NBA coverage, NBA final coverage too, started last night, so check that out. I was listening in, that was pretty cool. Tuesday, of course, the Shining Wizards and the Rant, double shot, 7 to 9 p.m. Thursdays, Rant and Wrestling, and of course, Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Fridays. So, on behalf of all of you, on behalf of my tag team partner Choppy, who's not here tonight, I miss him, I'll see him soon. I'm the Impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you all, take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap, don't get arrested, don't say the N-word, don't say any of those bad words. Be nice to people. Respect people's boundaries. Invest in yourself. Invest in your country. Invest in your children. Invest in the future of this world because we're fucking doomed as a planet. That's all I can really say about life right now. I love you guys to death. We're back next week. Same bad time. Same bad channel. Don't know the schedule yet. We'll have a new show. I promise you. And I will see you guys next week. Until then, have a blessed rest of your weekend. Stay cool. Stay calm. Stay collected. Stay gold, stay real. Peace.